Before we get going, let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask God to speak to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us again. Lord, it is a joy to be in your house. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, use me once again to speak to your people, to be challenged from your words. You have challenged it to me this week, and so God, I pray that as we leave here tonight, we can say we've been truly blessed meeting with one another and meeting with you, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, as we go through the book of Acts, there's some changes that take place along the way. I don't know if you noticed that. We started off with a meeting in the upper room. They had prayer time, and things begin to escalate from there. We see Peter and John, they go out into the missionary journey. We see, as Peter and John are on the scene, we see another man that comes up, and that name is Paul. He comes upon the scene. He's one who caused havoc to the church. God changed his heart. By the way, aren't you glad God changed your destination? I was sitting back of the church here the other night talking to my Uncle Greg, and I told him he's my favorite Uncle Greg. I don't have no other Uncle Gregs. So he's always had a, you know, I appreciate my uncles, to be honest with you. I really do. But he talked about earlier how God changed his shoes, and I knew what he meant by that. God literally changed his shoes because of the life that he was living before. Wasn't a life that was pleasing to the Lord. And so not only did God change Paul, but God was able to change Uncle Greg. He's able to change Q. He's able to change me. Still changing me, by the way. I haven't arrived yet, and thank God he's still working on me. By the way, if he's completed with you, please let me know. Amen. But we see this begin to unfold before our very eyes. We see a very successful missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, and now Paul and Silas. We see the persecution that's brought to them, and the persecution that's brought to them is because they're standing up for God. They're preaching the gospel, and you're always going to have people that's going to come back at you. They might not like what you're saying, so you're going to have some naysayers in the group, and you got to expect that. Also, with that being said, you got to learn how to handle those things as well. It's natural for me, if somebody comes at me, to come right back at them, and I got to watch my response. I really have to practice what I preach in that area, and thank God for a wife that reminds me of those things. It's not to hurt me, it's to help me. And so we got to watch how we react to things, even though we do have some naysayers, and that's just a part of life. But regardless, Paul still thought it was important for him and Silas at this point in time to continue in their missionary journey to go from town to town. And we ask, why do they go from town to town? Well, because persecution would come their way. People wanted to either put them in jail or either kill them. And I believe Paul found great relief at times to be put in jail. Got him out of harm's way at times. I always looked at Paul's life as, I think that's where Motel 6 got their saying was from Paul. We'll leave a light on for you. I believe that started back in the day when Paul was in the jail ministry. We'll leave a light on for you, Paul. But regardless, Paul kept going forth, and he showed us what to expect along the way and what not to expect. And how to react to those things and to keep going. And we're living in a world today that is tough. It was tough for Paul, and it's tough for us. But do we see in Scripture where Paul gave up? We don't see that. He was continuing to do God's work. And I'm thankful for those things. I'm going to get to my point here in a little bit. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But let's read these first, I believe, 6-8 verses here. Acts chapter 19, verse number 1, it says, "And came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples." Now, we're going to find out who these certain disciples are. Notice it doesn't say the disciples of Jesus. It says certain disciples. "He said to them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost, since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said to them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. You heard Pastor talk about this just a little bit this morning in the Sunday school hour. It says, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So if you're paying attention to what we just read a three different baptisms that just took place here in God's Word. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter number 1. Book of John, chapter number 1. We're going to rehearse the story that we just kind of read here with John, with these certain disciples. John chapter 1, in verse number 19. Says, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, who art thou? First of all, we have to understand, John is the last prophet of the Old Testament. He is coming to the New Testament, and as Pastor mentioned this morning, he is preparing the way for Christ. And he's doing a work here. And verse number 20 says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now, when you look at the word crying in the wilderness, I don't think that he was out there weeping with his eyes. I believe that he was letting his voice be heard. Proclaiming that Christ is coming. He's making preparation for him to be coming upon the scene. He's getting the people ready. Verse number 24, and it says, and they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, nor neither that prophet? John answering them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And he's talking about Christ here. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Go ahead and go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 19, where we were just at as we read the story. And we picked this up in verse number 3 because Paul met certain disciples along the way. These certain disciples were followers of John. And apparently, they had left the scene. They haven't even heard of the Holy Ghost at this point in time. They were kind of dumbfounded when this question was asked to them. It says, they've received the Holy Ghost since ye believe. And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether it be any Holy Ghost. And then he follows up with this question. He said to them, unto them were ye baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. I'm going to kind of go off what Pastor is talking about this morning just a little bit in Sunday school. We are in dire need of our country coming to repentance. We truly are. If you were to look around anywhere in our world, we're seeing a problem that's taking place. Somebody look up Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15 real quick. If I can have a gentleman look this up real quick, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15, and I'll get to the point why we're in this position that we're in. Why are we living in a world today that's not seeking repentance? Why are we living in a world that's full of hatred and having dislike towards family members, friends, co-workers, and things of that nature? By the way, we were created to hate one another. We were created to love one another. Who found Hebrews 12? Or Chad, would you go ahead and read that? 12:15, yes, sir.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
So here we have this verse, and I'm going to kind of put this together tonight if I could. Hebrews chapter 12 is talking about if there be any root of bitterness springing up, what causes trouble? Does that follow in that statement? Can you read the last part of that again?
Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Exactly. The root of bitterness. This is the problem that we're seeing in our world today. This is the exact problem that this world needs to seek repentance of. A few weeks ago, my daughter decided when school got canceled for the year, back in March, she decided to do something that I thought was pretty funny in a way. She decided to grab some seeds, and they were called daisy seeds. I don't know if they call them daisy seeds, but she wanted to plant a couple daisies. So what she did, her and her mom, they went to the store, they grabbed some dirt that was in a bag at that time, and they bought a little pot for it. And then she decided that she was going to put these seeds in this pot and begin the process of growing. There's one thing that I noticed that took place. In the seed, there is no roots. It has not taken place yet. But what she had to do, she had to come forth and water this. She had to water this to give life to this plant. And so as she began to water this plant, the plant began to take upon the nutrients that was given into the dirt and begin to grow what is called a root. And that root would go down and be able to dig into the dirt. And as that root's growing deeper and wider, what would we see take place? So the next couple days or next week, we would see a plant begin to come up. And as she began to water this, she began to do some more study and some more research on this. She says, "Dad, you know, you need to talk to plants." And I said, "You know, honey, you do what you want to do. That's fine. If you think you should do that, then do that." And she says, "The reason why you need to talk to plants is because they need to be encouraged." And so she began to talk to the plant on her own time. I never got to experience her do this. But she wanted this plant to grow, so she's given it every chance that it could to bring on life as she began to keep feeding that root. You notice it started off with just a little seed. She began to water it, and as she watered it, it just began to go forth. And then she began to do some more research on this particular plant. Is daisies need sunlight. If they don't get the sunlight they need, they begin their stem begins to bend over, if I'm right on that. Am I right on that, Jalen? Okay, I'm right on that. But there were times where the sun wouldn't come out. And so you would begin to see this plant begin to bend over. Well, it wasn't too long after that began to take place. It died. The plant died, the roots died, and it wasn't able to come back. So she decided to do the process all over again and took a couple more weeks. Instead of doing one, she did two. And I said, "Well, why do you want to do two?" She goes, "Because if daisies aren't getting sunlight, what they do, daisies will turn to each other and they will feed off of each other. And it will get oxygen from one another." And we saw this amazing thing begin to take place in our household over the next couple weeks. I like what she did after that. She grabbed her tablet. She says, "Dad, I want to record this because you really can't see a plant grow. It takes time. You're not able to see that root process take place either because it's buried underneath the dirt." But one thing that I appreciate about her, she's got a talented mind. So she grabbed her tablet, and for the next 3 to 4 days, she recorded that plant. And so that was on for 3 to 4 days of constant recording. And so as she got done after the 3rd or 4th day, we turned on her tablet to watch what would take place. And within 40 seconds, that was all gone. We saw the 40 seconds. It was about what it was. It wasn't the length of it. After hours and hours and hours upon recording, we only saw about 40 seconds. And in that 40 seconds, we saw the life cycle. We saw that plant begin to sprout, that seed that was in the dirt, take on the roots, and we didn't see that, but the plant began to come forth and begin to grow, begin to sprout, and begin to move back and forth. And what an amazing process that was. But here's the problem with what our world today. We need to have repentance. And this is what John was doing here. This was a baptism that is being spoken about. One thing we got to understand about John the Baptist, and I learned this so much the more when I was in Israel this past year. In Qumran, which is a place just north of Masada. Masada is in the Mediterranean Sea. Herod the Great, he built a fantastic, beautiful, I don't know if you want to call it a getaway from him, but he had a place of dwelling up there, and he can overlook everything that was below him. And that was one of the places I didn't want to go up because they put you on a cable car with 70 people inside there, and I just didn't feel like being a sardine for the next 2 minutes. Anyway, I saw pictures, I saw how beautiful it was, and I had a great time with God by myself. But after that, we went to Quorum. And Quorum is a place where John the Baptist is known to have studied God's word there with his disciples. And one of the things that we got to understand about John the Baptist was he had baptized, if I can use the word correctly, he cleansed himself constantly. As he's studying God's word, he would get up from studying God's word and begin to go into, I don't want to call them bathhouses, but they were bathing places where the rabbis would go in or his disciples, they would go in, and they're beautiful places. They're probably about 8 feet wide, an 8x10 area, and they would be just as deep, anywhere between 6 to 10 feet deep. And they'd have beautiful steps going down, and I have tremendous pictures of those things. And he would constantly go in there and begin to baptize himself. And at the same time, he would baptize his disciples. Well, this baptism wasn't for salvation. And his baptism was for repentance. And Paul says on here, hey, who baptized you? Who did you receive your baptism from? And their response was John the Baptist. And his response says, John verily baptized you with a baptism of repentance, saying unto people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So that's the baptism that they took, was a baptism of repentance. Verse number 5, it says, when they heard this, they listened to Paul at this point in time, you can say, gave a brief sermon to them, began to explain to them what was needed to take place, and did it very well. And it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So after they heard this, now their baptism comes. It's like us, after we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, what do? We follow in baptism. We go and we walk the steps of baptism. Pastor will baptize us and ask us some questions, and then we're baptized. Again, that doesn't save us. That's showing us, showing you that we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the shames that we have in our world, is the misteaching of baptism. In our world, some folks believe that if you're baptized, you're going to go to heaven. And we know that's not the case. That is not the case. First of all, you have to come to a point in your life, and you guys know this, that you realize that your sins are taking you to hell. It's separated you from God. And you have to realize that you need to call upon him as your Lord and Savior. And once you have come under the conviction of the preaching of the Holy Ghost at this point in time, you realize that that's what you need in your life. You, wherever you're at, it may be at your house, it may be in a parking lot somewhere, it may be in your car, it could be in a grocery store, and you call upon our Lord, your Savior, then the next thing that you do is you're telling the folks when you come in, you're identifying, hey, this is what I've done. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And again, that's not a form of us getting into heaven, that's we're identifying with Christ. And now we go on, and we begin to read some things here. It says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So here's the third baptism I want to talk about this evening, is they are baptized by the Holy Ghost. And what took place was they received spiritual gifts. Their spiritual gifts, they were able to speak in tongues, and because they were able to speak in tongues, they were also able to understand other men that spoke in tongues. And then they begin to prophesize here. In other words, what took place during this particular deal is their gifts that were given to them. Now, if you're a child of God tonight, I want you to understand something, and I hope you will. Is you have a gift. Some might have a gift of evangelizing. Some might have a gift of being a great prayer warrior. Some might have the gift of being a great Sunday school teacher. Some might have a gift of being a great bus driver for the church. Some might have a gift of playing the piano. Some might have a gift of singing. I want you to understand something tonight. God has given you a gift. And when God gives you a gift, you need to utilize that gift for His glory. That's what you and I need to do. So when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they were able to understand that God gave them gifts, and they were able to speak in tongues, and they were able to prophesy. If you don't use your gift that God has given you, do you realize that it can be taken away from you? It truly can. I mean, Chad, if I have a gift that I can sing and I'm not using it for His glory, God can take that away? Yes, because that gift is used to edify Christ. He wants you to use your gifts. What if your gift is going door to door to be able to talk to somebody about Christ? I was talking to Isaac this morning, and I didn't realize this. He goes, did you talk to your wife last night? They took most of my family to the airport last night, and Isaac's been crying ever since because Lindsay's in Arizona tonight, and he's not the same. And I'm just surprised that he's here. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. I know he'd be here. But his soon-to-be father-in-law is probably listening. I say, hey, let's play a trick on him. I'm going to text him and say, where's Isaac at today? But I didn't do that. But Isaac, he came to me and goes, did you talk to your wife last night? And I said, I said we talked, but what about what? And he goes, well, we went to Sonic after we dropped everybody off at the airport. And he said that there is a man that was there that they began to talk to. And they begin to witness to him. Because of what's going on, a lot of people are open to hearing what you have to say, especially when it comes about Jesus Christ. You know, I wasn't able to be there, but I can just imagine Isaac's very friendly. He's very open. He's not shy. I can remember being his age, and man, I didn't want to open my mouth at times. But what took place last night, he was able to use a gift that God gave him. To be able to speak to somebody that's probably lost on their way to hell, and he's able to give them some hope. And then he began to ask for some tracks, and I was able to show him there's tracks out there. And he grabbed some this evening. I thank God for that. What did he do? Just exercise a gift that God gave him. To glorify God, not to bring glory to Chris, not to bring glory to Isaac, was to bring glory to Jesus Christ. The gifts that were given to these men, it wasn't to bring glory to themselves. Hey, look at me, I can speak in tongues. Hey, look at me, I can prophesy. Look how great I am. It's not about how great you are, it's about how great God is and what He's done in your life. It's about how He cleansed you from your sins, from the filth that you once lived in. It's about how He saved your soul. And it's about how He gave you these things to be a servant for Him. I'm thankful tonight that we have pianists in our group. It's not easy to get up in front of a group of people and begin to display your talents that the Lord has given you. I've watched my wife and I've watched Christina as they're up here. They're practicing before we even begin to sing. I was back there tonight doing the sound, and Pastor's talking to Christina, and I'm watching her from the back. She's going through her notes. I see it with my wife, but what you don't see at times is the nerves. I've watched my wife on many occasions. Please don't get mad at me, Chris. It's not my point tonight. But I've watched my wife on many different occasions come back, and she's shaking like you wouldn't believe. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, I'm just nervous. I'm scared. But you know what? Despite how being nervous and how scared, God has given her a talent. God has given Christina Fichter a talent, too, to play the piano so that we can sing and lift up our voices. You know, it's discouraging tonight. Sometimes I'll look out when I'm up there giving announcements and I see folks not even singing. God gave you a voice. It might not be pleasing to our ears, but it's pleasing to God. This morning I was able to go back and you know, I led songs for Jeff this morning, and that makes me more grateful for Sean. It makes me more grateful for Jeff when I got to step in. But I went back and I listened to the YouTube later. I just wanted to see how everything sounded. The only reason I wanted to go back, to be honest with you, is because your mom It was funny watching the songbook. I'm back there. I can see Pastor. I can see Jalen. And all I saw was a blue songbook and a red dress below. I couldn't see Dina's face. And so we went back and we watched that just a little bit to laugh. And then I heard my voice and I said, those poor people. They really have to hear that. But you know, it's not to bring glory to you. It's not to bring glory to me. But I do know this. It doesn't matter how bad I sound. It's bringing glory to God. It might not be a gift that you're too fond of, but it's a gift that God has given you. It's a gift that God has given me. And we need to utilize the gifts that God has given us tonight. Don't let them go to waste. Don't let them sit on a shelf. Don't let them go unused. That's the last thing that you'd want to do, is not to have those gifts be put to use. There's many things that can be accomplished around this church because of the gifts that God has given you. This morning, Gary's fixing a faucet outside after church in the women's restroom. There wasn't water in there. God's given him a gift. We got a couple carpenters in our church. I can't do those things. You give me some duct tape and wire, I'll mess it up. I'm just like Q. You know what Q and our gift is when it comes to carpentry? Let somebody else do it. That's our gift. My point is tonight, I've stressed some time on this, and I know that I could have gone the other direction, but God just laid this upon my heart tonight. We don't have much time left on this earth. Use the gift that God has given you. God has given us a voice. God wants us, and that's a gift. We don't realize it a lot. Sometimes some of us speak too much. Sometimes we don't speak enough. Sometimes we don't know how to say the right things, but I want you to understand this. God has given you a voice tonight. That is a gift from him. God has given you a mind to be able to put words to that mouth so that those words can come out and make sense. Sometimes my words don't come out and make sense. I understand that the Holy Spirit's probably behind me tonight recorrecting everything that I say because it doesn't always come out right. But you know what? That shouldn't stop you from being a voice for God. Use your gift. If you're a Sunday school teacher tonight, what a tremendous gift God has given you. I still remember one of my Sunday school teachers, and I'll never forget her. I've had many Sunday school teachers along the way, but I can remember the tremendous gift that God gave her, even to this very day. She's no longer with us, but you know what that gift was? Listening to the young kids. Heather, I think I was in that age group, the class you're teaching now. What a tremendous responsibility. You know what she did that stood out to me? Loving me. That's a great gift. I can go back, even to school. Mrs. Lidgett, she's been around forever in our school. And I thank God for her. One of the great gifts that she has, and I've never really thanked you enough for this, is the gift. She just talks to us. There's times where Jalen will come home from school. She goes, Dad, Mrs. Lidge is just cool. I said, did she ever tell you about the time she rode on the hood in No Frills parking lot? No. So I'm able to tell those stories for you. I appreciate those things. That's a gift. What is that? That was showing me at that point in time in my life that I was important to her. You know, kids want to feel important to somebody. And she did that for me. And I can go on and on and on. God has given us tremendous gifts. And we're not to use it for our glory. We're not to use it for man's glory. But we're to use it for God's glory. And that's what it's about. We have another gift tonight that God has given us. We don't use it so often. And that's love. You know, this world needs love tonight. You know, it might shock somebody if we're to walk out of here tonight to a stranger on the street and just say, hey, man, I love you. You know how many times the Holy Spirit compelled me this week to go up to somebody I didn't know, that I know that didn't look right or didn't act right, to give them a Gatorade or give them a water? And you know what I did foolishly? I ignored that. God has given us a gift to show and share our love towards people. That's what our world needs right now. Man, I can't stress this enough. Use the gift that God's given us. Bring glory to Him. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. What a tremendous passage we see here. We see a baptism of repentance that took place first. We see the salvation. They have fallen to water baptism, identifying with Christ. And now the Holy Ghost comes upon them and bestows gifts upon them. You know, some of us in here tonight, they say, you might say, well, Chad, I don't know what my gift is. Can I give you a little bit of hint? Ask Him. Ask God what your gift is so that you can use it for His glory. One thing I appreciate about Q knows no stranger. You know, that's a gift. I wish I had that. I don't have that. I can't walk up to anybody tonight and just act like I've known them for 45 years and act like they're no stranger. I can't do that. That's not me, but that's Him. That's His gift. The greatest gift I'm missing right now is Donk. And the gift of just, you realize we went from a church of shaking hands to hugging one another? His gift was unity. Bringing people together. Man, that's amazing. Well, I've said enough tonight, and I think and I know you got my point where I was coming from tonight. So let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to bless us as we leave here this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Lord, tonight, I pray that You just continue to work in our midst. Lord, You, without a doubt, have bestowed Your gifts upon us. Lord, some of us don't know what they are. Some of us do know what they are. But God, tonight, I pray that we would begin to utilize them for Your glory. I pray, Lord, that we would bring them out of the packaging and we would open them up and we'd use them for Your glory so that men could see You for who You are. God, I pray that You would help us to be a light in this dark, dark world that so desperately needs You. Lord, I pray that we would be the ones that can show the people that have such a bitter hatred in their heart towards another that they need Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray tonight that we can help folks who might believe that baptism saves them. And Lord, we can show them the truth in Your word. And that Jesus Christ saves and saves alone. We can show them these things. God, tonight I pray that You just continue to work and bless. Again, Lord, as we leave here tonight, I pray that You just, my heart really goes to our campers that are just so desperately missing the time. Even on the road, as my daughter is saying this afternoon, just the time of fellowship and camaraderie with one another. They miss that. So God, tonight, I pray that You just bless these folks this week. And we ask it in Your name. Amen. You're dismissed.